Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. Chase Livingston, the other great Chase that we all know, is out this week. He is recovering from WordCamp Miami, I think is what he told me. Everything I've seen on Twitter says he absolutely nailed it out of the park, so I'm going to preempt all you and say shout out to Chase Livingston for doing a great job there. All right, we've got the rest of the crew back, plus a special guest this week. So we're going to start with Carolyn, who, if you don't know, we just had this bombshell dropped on us. She's going to be out for like the next 8 episodes, basically. So we're expecting lots of great wisdom from her before she goes on her jet-setting Europe trip, right?
Yeah, thanks for pretending that that's going to affect anybody in a negative way. That's very kind of you. I'll be
in Italy, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, if you're not around, then, you know, it just, I don't know, you lift the show up.
Aww.
I'm going to try to work in the whole You Lift Me Up song into the background in post-production, so it's going to be great. and then we've got Jeff Vincent from Wistia, who evidently, I don't know, weather was happening?
I'm good. We're all good here. Boston may or may not be underwater by tomorrow, but we seem to be good for now.
Does Boston ever get like a nice day? I mean, between the snow and floods?
I know. Isn't that weird? I feel like, well, maybe I'm the only one that's commuting normally on the show, so I'm the only one that's like affected by weather. But there was definitely snow, and it's been beautiful the last couple of months, so I guess I haven't said anything. But now it's definitely rain.
So, well, hopefully you won't miss the next 2 months from flooding, because then
maybe
we'll just have
from
to wrap
sadness,
up.
Just sadness from Carolyn saying, well, the time's going to be a little bit different, so I like might be out at that time.
It's like midnight.
I might be taking a nap at that time, so I won't be able to make the show, you guys.
And then our special guest this week from the wonderful team over at Ask Nicely, John Ballinger. So, John, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what Nicely is and what y'all do over there.
Yeah, sure. So thanks for inviting me onto the show. So Ask Nicely is a new product. We're what we'd call a pure play net promoter score platform. We allow companies to upload their email list or connect into their support tools or CRMs. And we send out a survey email. And in that survey email, we'll ask the question is how likely are you to recommend this product or a brand to a friend? And we allow customers to respond by clicking on one of 11 buttons and then leaving feedback. So we have a lot of customers using Ask Nicely for triggered customer support. So when a case is closed, we send out an NPS question, and in that question, they can pretty much respond to that support query that they've had, and then they also leave a comment. So that's what we've been doing. We've been running for about a year now, and we've been going at full speed probably for the last 6 months.
Awesome. And see, just to show the power of planning here, we're actually talking about surveys on this episode. I thought ahead. It's great.
Fantastic.
So yeah, great to have you on the show. And just to kind of dive into all the fun that we're going to have on this one. So kind of like you mentioned, you know, we see surveys all over the place. They're at the end of, you know, just about every support email interaction that you're going to have with somebody. You've probably gotten one from just about any store you've ever visited in the last, like, forever. I got one in the mail the other day from Walmart, which I figure once it made it to that point, that's like, the mass whatever the I can't even think of the phrase, but it's the point where
the tipping point.
Yeah, and it was funny because I saw in the one of the chat rooms the other day that they're even in, I think it was at Heathrow, there's these little buttons now where you can leave feedback about how your interaction with their security agents were. You can press the smiley face, the flat face, the frown face. I mean, at that point, if it's a physical product, that's really is the tipping point.
I have a picture of that somewhere.
That was 2003, wasn't it?
I don't know. I just saw it the other day, so I'm going to put it in the show notes. And if it is 2003, then the Brits just have us all beat in all of this. I mean, basically, companies are asking about your thoughts, your feedback all the time. So we want to talk about the best ways to go about those surveys, the best formats to use, and all that kind of fun stuff. So let's kind of start. Well, we'll start with John on this one. You mentioned that people were starting to include Ask Nicely at the bottom of like your typical support email interactions and those kind of things. So when it comes to those, are those good things that people should be including? Like, should we be asking about every single email interaction that we have with a customer?
Right, so I'll clarify that a little bit. So I noticed that with most modern tools like Help Scout, because I think you use Help Scout, don't you, Carolyn? And with Help Scout, you have the ability to rate at the bottom of every email with these faces. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do. So what we do is with Help Scout, when you close a case inside Help Scout, you trigger a notification to Ask Nicely. And what Ask Nicely will do is send a third-party email to that customer. And the email is not said necessarily so much about the interaction you've had. We ask a slightly different question. Well, I suppose it is about the interaction. But we ask, based on your interaction with, say, Buffer, how likely you reckon to Buffer to a friend or colleague. And that's sort of what that's, so this is when the case has been closed. And we do two things there. So because we've got the 0 to 10 scale, that if a customer clicks on 10, we can see they're really happy with that interaction. And then because they leave a follow-up comment after this, they say, I dealt with Carolyn at Buffer, and she was fantastic. I tell Buffer about all my friends. I've actually told 3 friends. Well, they do the vice versa, and they click on a 0 or a 2 or a very low score, and they say, my problem was not resolved. I'm really upset. I would not recommend Buffer to anyone. And I think this is a chance to catch catch sort of someone that's fallen through the net. I think we've talked about, I heard in the previous show, I think show 80, you've had this interaction, maybe someone else has taken over an account, maybe an invoice query or a billing query, and they've tried to do a good job about it, and they think they've closed the case, and the customer comes back with a 0, says, look, you haven't solved my problem. So this is really a great way to fix or find people that are falling through the net, and then I'm following up with those people. So we do that at the end of an interaction or the end of a case.
Yeah, okay. So let's kind of look at that versus, so Carolyn, when it comes to Help Scout, those get tacked on basically at the end of every email rather than every case. So do you find that having it at the end of every email helps you kind of gauge how happy that customer is?
Yeah, a lot of people do do choose a face. I don't know that we like really need it to know if we made the customer happy, but usually we have a pretty good sense. I totally agree with Jono that every now and then, instead of replying to the email, they leave an unhappy face and say, this actually wasn't solved. And so he's totally right. I completely agree that we have that experience as well, that sometimes for whatever reason, they're tired and burned out on the thread or whatever it is, and they decide to give feedback as opposed to sort of reopening that one. So we do get that, which is great to catch those. And yeah, I think it's somewhat cathartic. People like to give positive feedback and to express disappointment when they feel like they weren't treated the way they expected. So I don't know if it's so valuable to, but we do it. So it's more positive than negative. And to answer your question about having it at the end of each email as opposed to the end of the case, there's something I think kind of nice about it just being there as opposed to it being another email. That's just a personal preference probably.
Yeah, and just to kind of set the baseline, Basecamp is on Help Scout. We do the same thing, smiley interaction at the end of every email there. For us, or I won't say for us, for me, I like having it at the end of every interaction because there's something, I don't know, maybe like you mentioned, cathartic on my part, where seeing like an email or interaction where the customer was kind of frustrated and angry, seeing that flip at the end to more of a happy kind of smiley face at the end, that's really, it's always a good feeling to know that that has shifted toward the happier end of the scale. Jeff, just to kind of round things out so everyone kind of knows what everyone's doing, what happens with Wistia? Is it at the end of every email or interaction, at the end of a case? How does that play out?
So we've separated the what we call the customer satisfaction score from what I think I would typically call an NPS score. The reason why we did that was I think when you for us, at, I mean, this was not tested. This was completely opinion. But for us, whenever you ask for feedback in a certain context, you get feedback on that context, regardless of what you're asking for. So if a customer is trying to do something in their account and you call them up and say, hey, like, how is the support interaction that you had last week? So you're literally talking on the phone in this case. they're going to say, oh, it's great, but seriously, can you help me with this thing? Like, they're just more focused on what's going on with them at that moment and what they're trying to achieve. So we wanted to start measuring what we were calling customer happiness, but it's really this net promoter score consistently, and we wanted to take out the idea that whatever was going on at that moment, we wanted to take out as much of that contextual feedback as we could. So we started sending folks, so we measure CSAT score, let's try saying that 10 times fast, using those Help Scout, that Help Scout functionality. We actually started it before Help Scout built their feature, and then when they launched it, we really liked the reporting, so we switched over to that. And so we do that after every interaction. People can leave feedback, and it's a great, like, additional means of communication, right? So for a lot of people, if they feel like they're frustrated with the support they're getting, for example, they might sort of pop into this other mode of communication mid-thread and say, like, I don't feel like I'm getting the support that I need, or I feel like I'm, like, my question's not being heard. And there have been a number of times that the person who's actively providing the support has been able to get either feedback or catch themselves using language that they wish that, you know, that they realize, like, is not helpful in the context, based on this, like, second thread, this, like, sub thread of information. And then we're measuring NPS score. Well, we've measured it once quarterly, and we plan to do that again. But that will be with a separate, like, we won't even be sending it to the same group of people again. We'll be sending it to a totally different group.
Yeah, and that kind of, Jeff, gives us a great segue in here. And I want to kind of take a time out real quick, just so for people, we're going to be throwing around some acronyms here, and it can be kind of intimidating if you aren't used to all of these. So CSAT, really, say that 10 times fast. That's rough. CSAT scores are typically, what's it? It's customer satisfaction. And it breaks down around the question of basically, how would you rate your overall satisfaction with the service you received? And you can see that a myriad of ways. You can see it on, like, a percentage scale, you know, 0 to 100%. A lot of times I see it in, like, a 1 to 5 scale, 1 being dissatisfied, 5 being satisfied, that kind of thing. NPS, Net Promoter Score, breaks down around the question, how likely is it that you would recommend the product, the company, Carolyn, whatever, how likely would you recommend them to a friend or a colleague? And that breaks down usually a 1 to 10 scale. You've got promoters at the top, then kind of passives in the middle, and then detractors from 5 and below. And then the other one that I'm going to throw out later in the show is called CES. It's the Customer Effort Score. And we'll have all these in the show notes too, so you don't have to, like, write all this down furiously. But the CES is based around how much effort did you personally have to put forth to handle the request that you had, and that's a 1 to 5 score too. So those are the big ones that we're talking about. So we've got the, like, kind of single customer email interactions out of the way now, because those were kind of just a starting place. The more interesting ones happen, like Jeff pointed out, with the big customer groups. So we're going to swing back around to John now. When it comes to the NPS, looking at not how great it is, but how a company should be using NPS, how often do you think a company should be sending out those kind of NPS surveys to their customers, to groups of customers, rather than just one person at a time?
Yeah, so that's a fantastic question. And I just heard before, sorry, I forgot the friend from Wistia. The Wistia's guy's name?
Jeff.
Jeff, sorry, Jeff. That's even my brother's name. I should better remember that. and Jeff's saying they send their NPS score out quarterly. Something we've built from the ground up with Ask Nicely is to remove this avalanche of feedback that you get around regular NPS surveys. So most businesses will go around and they'll grab a whole lot of emails and they'll put them into a spreadsheet and they'll upload them into a system. And then what they'll try and do is they'll blast that out to a whole lot of people and they'll get this avalanche of feedback back. They'll get a score. You may even be collecting comments. We collect comments. But you get this back and you can't really do anything with it. And so that's the problem with if you're sending something, say, quarterly. What Ask Nicely does is says, well, why don't we actually control how many emails you send out every day? So we do it daily. That's the biggest thing you can do with your company, because with daily you can actually do something about changing your NPS score. So if you measure it, sure, you've got a number. You'll sit down in the boardroom, and as we say, you'll get all scratchy beady about it and go, oh, NPS score's down. Well, let's just continue business as normal. I'm just short. There's too much water in Boston, and everyone was feeling really grumpy. So we measure it daily, and we try and actually route that to the right people. And so you can look at how you want to change, you know, what can you do inside your organization, route that to the right people, and actually look at moving your NPS score, because we think that's the most important thing. Coming back to frequency, there is some frequency component involved in it. So while we're doing it daily, is how often should a customer get an NPS survey back? So how often should we be triggering surveys? In support, we say at the moment we have rules set up saying if you a case is closed and you had two cases within a month, we'd only send you one NPS survey. So for support, we say every 30 days because it's a more frequent interaction. So at the end of a case being closed in support, it'll be 30 days. But if you're doing something like a baseline NPS or a brand NPS, which was Jeff's doing in Worcester, he does those every 90 days, so every quarter. We'd probably recommend the same for a company. If you're taking subscriptions from customers and they're paying you every month and these people are really value and churn is a real issue for your company, you really want to know what those customers are doing. So quarterly is absolutely is probably up there in the frequency, but would be the frequency you're doing if you're a subscription type service. If you don't have so much interaction with your customers, then maybe twice yearly would also work quite well. But quarterly would be a gold standard in my opinion.
Yeah, Jeff, what do you think? Has quarterly, I know this is only the first time, and I'm sure you were like flooded with responses and everything this first time, but you know, going forward, was quarterly kind of a good thing to pick, or are you thinking maybe tweak that down the road to go monthly or something?
Well, the reason why we chose quarterly to start was kind of like the opposite thinking of measuring frequently, which is, when you measure your CSAT score, wow, I gotta stop saying that. When you choose to measure CSAT score, you are likely to react to the feedback that you get. So if somebody writes in their feedback like, "Oh, this wasn't the support that I wanted," and you look and you see that it was related to Jeff, that Jeff was writing the response, you're like, "Oh man, I wonder if Jeff's having a bad day. Like this customer was really upset." And you may not really take the time to go read the thread, right? Which says like, which, you know, I followed all the rules or, you know, whatever I tried to go above and beyond and this person is just really in a bad place or something like that. And with NPS scores, I think that you could, it sort of depends on where you're at as a company, I think, but you could sort of have the same thing. As support people, we have this problem all the time, which is, we get feedback from a customer that something's not working as they wanted, and we just want to go kick down a door and be like, oh my God, it's not working as people wanted to. We need to fix it, right? And we forget that like 99.9999% of other people might be using it just fine. And we need to, you know, take other data points and interview other people and really get to the bottom of the problem. So collecting data, choosing to collect data infrequently means that there's a very like short, we did get barraged with responses, but it kind of happened over like a week's time. And then after that, the responses have completely dropped off, right? And so now you can step back and look at all of that data that came in during that week. So we got, you know, many, many thousands of responses. And we can step back and say, okay, what are the big ticket items that are in here in terms of positive feedback, and what are the big ticket items in here in terms of negative feedback? And instead of responding to like a single data point, right, someone writing in and saying like, this person's terrible, you should fire them, we were able to step back and say like, what are our big problems? So that's why we chose infrequent, and why we'll probably stick with that, at least for now with NPS stuff. I think it just depends on the type of service that you run, how often your customers interact with you, where you're at as a business, are you super early, how many customers you have, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and now I'm going to need your teammate, Dave, to actually film you breaking down the door so we can marry that with that excitement there.
We don't have any doors. We just don't have any doors in the office, but I can like bang on a wall or something. He could probably film. He'd be ace at filming that.
All right, so Carolyn over at Buffer, does Buffer do any kind of big group surveys like that, whether it be CSATs or really, we need a different phrase for that, a different acronym, MPS or anything like that?
About every 6 to 9 months, we have a big team discussion about whether we're going to do MPS. so far we've chosen no. I'm not even sure why, just because, for the most part, I mean, if I had to guess, we're in contact with customers in so many other ways. Excuse me. And I think my feeling is that, like, we are not really equipped to act on the number. I can see the value of doing the survey and then getting sort of a baseline and then seeing if it goes up or down, but then you have to sort of ask people a lot of times. And we are, in communication over, a lot of support, and we also do a lot of customer development. So, we're in touch with people a lot. We have a whole team of people just to talk to customers about, what their experiences with either an existing feature or a proposed solution to a challenge or a brand new feature or that kind of stuff. So we've kind of gone that route as opposed to kind of the big data side. Although, the SOS major in me just kind of salivates at that kind of data. We're not really set up at this moment to do it, but it always comes up, and one of these times it'll happen.
Well, see, now we've got a good baseline of, like, a company not doing it, a company that is doing it, and then the guy who actually made one of the tools that does it. this is why you should listen to our show. We get all the viewpoints going on here. You bring up an interesting point as far as, like, being actually able to do something with any data that you got back from there. So, John, when it comes to Ask Nicely, when companies use that, what are you seeing them actually use that data to do? Rather than ask the question and then we've got this data now, what are they actually doing with it?
So I'm going to loop back on a few things here. So this might be slightly long but something like with Carolyn. So Carolyn's never used it before, and she doesn't really have a baseline. So we noticed just about with every company that starts using or Ask Nicely. So I get to see all these people signing up for our product, turning it on and seeing what happens. And even though they think they've got an awesome team, they run the MPS they turn the MPS on. And all of a sudden they get a score that may be in the negative. So MPS is between -100 and +100. And they turn it on and they get a score of 0, which is pretty average. It's the number of customers that love them minus the number of customers that hate them is 0. It's that equal. So they're not doing so well. They turn around and they go, well, why is this? And they look at it. And about 2 months later, they push that score up to maybe 30 or 40 because they realize there's something fundamentally wrong with some part of their business that's tripping a lot of customers up. And then they pretty much hold that score. So coming back to actioning MPS, how do you move it? Well, the first thing you got to do is measure it. If you don't measure it, you can't move it. And I'll bring up a really beautiful example of a customer that we have. And this customer does phone support. And so when a phone support case is closed, they send out our MPS question. But the interesting thing is this customer has two teams in two different parts of the world, and within each team they've got about 40 people. And so what they do is they're able to measure the MPS of actual individual people and see how that MPS moves with people. So they ask the question, they get feedback in, and because this is such a large company here, they actually have the ability to escalate people that say have scored between 0 and 6, or say what we consider a detractor. And so if someone's had a real problem, so a real technical problem, someone's tried to solve this issue, a support person's tried to solve this issue, and they couldn't, what they do is they have one of their support gurus who's come along and escalated this, and they leave some notes. They've actually ring up the customer again, and they try and rescue that customer because this customer's indicated that they're ready to use another product. They want to churn. They want to stop paying you at the end of this year, depending on their subscription, and they want to go use another product. So the trick to being able to move the MPS is actually having it after an interaction, for example, support, or being able to follow up that interaction. So doing it daily helps you, which our product does, is what we're keen about, is the ability we can push that into, push these alerts that we create when someone scores you a low score into the right people. We do something like segmentations. We can figure out what type of customer it is, and we can send a low score straight to the CEO, the head of the support team, also back down to the agent to see how that agent's doing. So in the negative case, we have the ability to follow up. And also on the, I think on the positive side as well, we have the ability to see who's doing really, really well. So at the end of that support interaction you've had, we have the ability to close the loop and say, I've just been talking with Jeff at Wistia. He was fantastic, awesome guy. I love this guy. And it really boosts the morale of people inside the organization, wanting them to actually work harder and doing a better case in support as well. So the trick is actioning it to improve it and then just routing that to the right people.
Yeah, so Jeff, with Wistia and all this data that you've collected with NPS, who, like, what's the right people at Wistia doing with that to actually have something to do with it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And what we'd love to do in the future is to have someone who that's really what they do, right, is own that data. I guess that's my responsibility. Actually, I know that that's my responsibility.
We should point out also that Jeff just got a nice big, I don't know, bump, transition to a new role. He's now what, product? I saw it the other day in your email. Your product lead or something?
Go with product manager.
There we go, product manager. Cool. So first, congrats for that. Now second, what are you going to be doing with all this?
So what we've been doing over the first, so we collected our first set of data end of March, end of the first quarter. And first of all, it was like a nice cause for celebration. We had what I consider a very high score that we were happy with. But then we looked at a lot of the negative scores and read through the comments and put some, you know, like super like back of a napkin data together about like what was causing lower scores, or even of folks who scored us sort of highly, what prevented them from scoring us really highly. So the NPS rating, I believe, throws out sevens and eights.
Correct. Yep.
And we were looking at a lot of sevens and eights, and there are people who will leave very, I mean, it's amazing. They will leave very in-depth feedback about what would have moved them to a nine or a 10, right? Like maybe they've done this practice before, so they know how it works, but they knew we wanted to get them there, and they told us what would have gotten them there, and we used that as data to decide what are some of the things that we need to be focusing on in the next quarter, right? Or over time, like what are some of the conversations that we are having or that we're not having that could really affect the customer? Because you hear about companies or products all the time that they fall in love with something new and shiny and they go and they build it. And the customers are kind of like, meh, like they may even move on to another solution because you haven't solved their basic problems. And so we're trying to use that, the customer feedback, to make sure that whatever we're spending a lot of our time talking about or building is in line with what the customer actually wants, right? Or we're taking that as at least a very, very valid data point. So the way we've used the data so far, like I said, I guess before, is trying to bucket it, find out what the biggest buckets are, and making sure that we're thinking about how to either solve the problem or escalate it or whatever.
So Carolyn, with Buffer, you touched on this a little bit earlier as far as, you know, not doing a big kind of survey like this because you've got all these little indications and indicators of your customers' happiness. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit? Because I feel like a lot of times, especially not like our companies, but like bigger companies, yeah, like Walmart size, will look at an NPS score or a CES score and be like, this is the one number that we're going to focus on. When in reality, I feel like a lot of times we should be looking at a bunch of smaller little numbers like you mentioned. So can you kind of elaborate on what Buffer's looking at to kind of figure out if your customers are happy?
Yeah. So we do a lot of qualitative data. Which is a whole lot less easy to wrap up in a bow and to like, it's a lot messier, right? But we're just kind of in that stage where we're still wanting to talk to a lot of people and like really hear what that is. And
Yeah, you say that stage, but I mean, Basecamp still does that. We don't really have a big NPS score or anything like that. We look at, you know, kind of the interactions we're having with customers and phone calls that we're having with them. So I don't think it's like a stage as much as you kind of make it out to be. Like, don't feel bad. If you're watching the YouTube, you know, we see Kaylin kind of being like, but we do it this way. And that's cool. I mean, that's what I want to kind of, you know, see how Buffer is doing that without using a big number like this.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have used the word stage. I didn't mean like stage of, I kind of meant like company stage. Like it seems like where it's like a kind of startup-y in some ways too. Not at all that it's not startup-y to do NPS, because it totally is. We are very encouraging of people to get in contact with us, which if you like watch the show and or listen to the show, you know that. But we, you know, we have it in the PS of every email. We have like get in touch everywhere, all over everything. And if they use the form, we can tell how urgent they rated their own query, which is a replacement of how they're feeling in it going into it, which is a separate conversation. But we kind of decided that we can tell how they're feeling, and instead we ask them to rank their urgency. So based on how hysterical they are about the question, we can kind of get a gauge of what percentage of people are feeling really anxious about the problem. And that's, Jeff always says, like, the happiest customer doesn't write you at all, right? Except for a very small percentage at the very end. So, we can tell what percentage of people are writing in. We can tell what percentage of people are writing in with urgent questions. We can track where the urgent questions are coming from, like what specific plans and what specific areas of the product that they're having. So we do a lot of this kind of stuff to just get a sense of it. And so when we say, like, we're getting a lot of urgent questions about, you know, posting, then we can go through that and just qualitatively read through each one and kind of what Jeff described, like bucket it. Is it posting because they can't upload a photo? Is it posting because they can't, the button's not working, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So we do a lot of that in the support world. We also, track at the end of every interaction, we get about between 15 to 20% of a response rate on those, which seems kind of high to me, but I would love to hear the percentage that you guys get if you know it. So we do that. We have a whole team that does customer development to specifically, they literally just talk to customers all day long. They set up calls through Twitter, through email, through, if they've used one specific feature, if they've gotten one specific error, like they literally just talk to customers all day long. And there's several people doing that full time. Take a deep breath. We also do a lot with the data that that the customer happiness team doesn't really do, but the data team does. So they track churn, and we've got a really great guy on the team, Maxime, who's tracking a lot of, he's just a data wizard right now, and he's figuring out what percentage of customers are actually churning, like actively canceling, versus their credit cards just running out. And like you can learn so much just by looking at, you know, the data that you have, if you have somebody who's able to do that, obviously. So that's outside of my realm and our team. But basically absolutely everything that goes on in Buffer is related to customer happiness in some way, and usually that is measured in some way. So there's a gazillion ways to watch these things, and especially watch them change. John's point of, it's less necessarily about where you start, more the changes that you make. And at the end of the day, I'm kind of a believer that you also just kind of have a feeling in your gut, like at the most qualitative level and least quantitative, our CEO just reads through that mentions of Buffer every day. Like that's just one of his things that he does. He just checks to see what people are saying. And, you know, if he's seeing a whole lot of people talking about one specific issue or seeming unhappy, he just goes, "Hey, what's going on?" And we try and figure it out. Sorry, was that like a really, 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 really hard to follow answer?
I think that's indicative so at Basecamp we do kind of the same thing, right? So we're watching, you know, what people are saying on social media, even though I hate that phrase, and we're watching what people are emailing us in and what they're emailing us about and what we're hearing at like conferences that we might be at and what emails like Jason is getting. And it's never like one specific thing that we're looking at to give us a good number. It's kind of all those things in the aggregate. And at the end of the day, you can measure, you know, every single variable that you want and kind of try to paint a big picture. But I think it's like you mentioned, like your gut is going to tell you what is going on with your customers and if they're happy or not. That's just me anyways. John, to swing it back to you, just kind of start kind of wrapping things up here. Is NPS kind of that end all be all kind of number that companies should be watching? Or is it more like Carolyn was talking about, more like a one arrow in your quiver to kind of watch and see how your customers are doing?
Well, I'm going to be biased on this, but it's absolutely, I think it's absolutely the best question you can ask your customers. It's it solves two things that you have, quantitative and qualitative. You've got this, whether or not the metric's right, that doesn't really matter, but you're measuring something and you're coming back with that score between 0 and 10. The customer's hitting 0 or 10, one of those buttons, any one of those buttons. And you're coming back with a quantitative score. So every month you can say what your NPS is. Again, we do it daily, so we can tell you every single month your NPS is sitting at 30, it's sitting at 40. Yeah, now we're into June, so my NPS might be sitting at 60, it might be going up, might be going down. Now, why is it going down? So that's when we can dig into the qualitative data that everyone's talking about here. So this is the gut feel of what of when someone wants to talk about something bad. There's always that saying that a one unhappy customer probably means there's 10 unhappy customers. So if you're talking to all your customers, you should know who those unhappy customers are and should be able to reach out and measure that. And the cool thing with NPS is it's something that's actionable between, well, or sort of comparable between different businesses. So I can pull out our NPS score, and I can compare that with other people in the same industry. So if you're, you know, if you're a SaaS startup and you have a low NPS score, you can actually say it's something we can compare, which is really interesting. So it is quite a universal metric. It's an accepted metric, and it should probably be one of your six KPIs that you should be tracking inside your business today. So the short answer is yes.
Also, Jeff, you get the final word on this, since you're kind of, I think it was kind of you that, exciting here. You were one of the ones to email me a couple months ago because you were kind of looking at implementing a big kind of survey type metric like this. So out of all the research that you've done over the last couple of months, you settled on NPS, doing it quarterly. Is that the approach that you would recommend for somebody else that's in the SaaS world?
Oh, gosh.
And throw in anything else you want just to wrap it up. Give us a nice, neat thing we can put a bow on.
Oh, I can do it.
So much pressure. Here's what I would say. You really don't want to measure your or manage your customer experience or your product retroactively. You really want to try to do it proactively, not like reactively or looking backwards. But you need to be aware of like what the inputs are for that. I think John put it nicely. It's like you might be able to follow up with people who are not having a good experience and find out, is there a root cause to that? Is there something where like a whole group of people that I'm bringing in are not having a good experience because, you know, we're selling something that we can't back up or something like that. But I think that we really wanted to find a way to get above the daily noise, right? Like the daily, oh, this person is having an issue. Oh, you know, Firefox seems to be having a problem. Like, let's dive into that and be thinking, we want Wistia to be 10x, 100x what it is now. How are we going to get from here to there? It's probably not just by solving problems reactively. It's also by trying to get those that big bucket of data that we can parse through. So I feel like anyone who tries to put a bow on it's going to sound stammering like I am now, but it kind of depends on where you're at. It kind of depends on how many, you know, people and how many reactions you think you're likely to get if you put that survey out. But for us, we knew it was going to be a lot And it was going to be a constant daily stream, and if we were going to do it daily. So we decided to do it infrequently. And now we're trying to manage that proactively going forward, right? Move your MPS number by finding the biggest bottleneck, not by tackling every single one as they come in. That's just our approach.
Awesome. And, you know, just to tack on a little bit, whatever you do, whether it's kind of look at a bunch of different smaller numbers or look at one big number or whatever approach you take to this kind of figuring out if your customers are happy, whatever you decide to measure, make sure you actually do something with it. You can sit here and ask questions all day long of customers, but if you don't actually do anything with that data, then it's just a waste of their time and your time. So that's one of those, whatever approach you take, make sure it's something that you're actually going to look at the data and do something with. Otherwise, like I mentioned, it's just a waste of time. So that's kind of the wrap for that. Let us know how your company does it, what survey tools you're using, what kind of format you're using, how frequently you're doing them, all that kind of fun stuff. Hit me up. It's at SupportOps on Twitter, or there's a email contact form thingamadooj over at supportops.co/contact. That said, this has got to be a great shout-out session since Carolyn is leaving us. So I'm just giving you a warning. We've got to make it perfect on the sound effects, okay? So that brings us to my favorite part of each and every week. It's this week's shout-outs. These are the things that are making us happy, so happy you want to shout out from the rooftops and mountains to let you know that you should be doing, buying, or whatever the verb is there. Jeff, let's go. First off, let me just say congrats to both of you for a perfect, great sounding shout out noise. So kudos on that. Jeff, what have you got for a shout out?
I was notified by what's that super popular service that like tells you what apps are hot?
Product Hunt.
I was notified by Product Hunt that there is a cool new task, you know, like a to-do list app, surprise, called Postbone. And I checked it out. And the I think the URL is postboneapp.com, and the marketing work done for it, the design work done for it is just wonderful. It's really, really cute, and it draws you in. I have no idea, honestly, if I'm going to use the product. I have a pretty good system going, and I don't see myself changing. But for anyone who doesn't have said system, I would totally recommend checking it out, and it's free, I think.
The marketing page is cute. Yeah, postponeapp.com. That's kind of got like a hand-drawn Dropbox Basecamp kind of feel to it. That's awesome.
There's a lot of great illustrations going on the marketing site and in the app as well. I think it's well done.
Awesome. John, I can't remember. You've listened to the show, so you know about shout-outs. Have you got one for us?
I've got two.
For those that want to Carolyn with her dual shout-outs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, God. Okay. Well, for anyone that wants to measure MPS, would be asknice.ly is our product that measures MPS. It's the best one I can shout out about. I've obviously put a plug to our to my little baby that I've been working on for so long. And then I think one of my favorite tools that I've been using, I'm not sure how old this is. It's maybe 2 or 3 years old, actually, but it's called Simple Note. So it's available in the App Store. It is free. It is a very, very simple note-taking app and sharing app, which is quite amazing. You can share notes that you've got with so I share my notes with my co-founder. And it's just so simple and beautiful. We've been using it for well over a year now. And it's still working, so I'd highly recommend anyone wanting to take notes, want to search notes or tag notes or share someone with an email address and they stay up to date. Fantastic. And I think it syncs with iCloud, so it's available on all your devices. Free and simple. Simple note.
Can't be free and simple. Awesome. Carolyn, since, like we mentioned, you're leaving us, so what's your final shout-outs?
Okay. So my first one is happy birthday to my dad. If you want to tweet that to him, he's Dr. Bob K on Twitter.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
D-R-B-O-B-K. Happy birthday, Bob. And my other one is kind of a dual shout out. As I mentioned, I'm doing some traveling this summer. So, as Chase mentioned, So I moved out of my apartment in San Francisco, and kind of a 1-2 punch of helping me move out was make space, which mails you boxes, you pack them and they pick them up, and City Stash, which comes and picks up your furniture and stores it for you. And both of those two companies I had a great experience with. And they're not only available in San Francisco. I always get in trouble for this. They're available each San Francisco and one other city, New York and Washington, D.C., I think. But the greatest thing about these services is not having to have a back injury at the end of your move. So kudos to both of them, and thank you to both of them for making my move this move.
Aww. Well, at least you're up to two cities now, even if it's cities we don't live near. That's still cool. And just to make sure we get that straight, so it's we're tweeting at Dr. Bob K, right?
Yeah.
He's a red egg.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an avatar.
He's famous for saying, I don't understand this Twitter shit. But you'll help him understand it if you tweet happy birthday to him.
I think this he's is like worried about being found.
Really, what? I mean, all of the people listening to our show, this is the only thing we're going to ask of you for the rest of the year. So just please tweet happy birthday to at Dr. Bob K, because that'll make him really happy.
One of two tweets is amazing high-speed photos of dogs.
Yeah, we're trying to work on him to get back into Twitter.
That was from November of 2012.
That is straight up Twitter right there. That's what more do you need?
This guy is something else.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to throw up my shout out before we devolve into anything else. So I downloaded the other day GoodNotes. It's an iPad app. I think there's an iPhone app, and I've heard rumors of a Mac app, supposedly. It's kind of along the same lines as Simple Notes, like John mentioned. But for me, it was real simple. Like, I needed something. I don't know if this was just a first world problem or what, but I was looking around my office and could not find any, like, graph paper to actually draw something out on. So I was like, surely there's an app for that. And there is. It's called GoodNotes. You can do notes on just about any type of paper. I needed graph paper because we were sketching out stuff around the farm, and I like squares. I don't like free-handed squares that don't look right. So that said, it was really cool. I was able to sketch out kind of the master plan that we had going on, and then share that directly over to my Dropbox account where my wife could get it, and then email it over to my brother, all from right there in the app. So it's really awesome. If you're looking for any kind of like note-taking drawing app like that, I definitely recommend it, goodnotesapp.com. So two things. Tweet at Dr. Bob K, because that's the most important thing from the show. Don't worry about anything else. Just make sure that happens. And second off, you're not going to see Carolyn around for a couple of weeks. She is going to come back, but she's going to be backpacking or something around Paris. I don't know. So bon voyage, and enjoy your trip over there, and we'll see you when you get back. We'll save your spot for you. Show notes, everything else is going to be up, supportops.co, so you can grab those then. It's going to be a lengthy show note thing, because we're going to try to pack all those links that we mentioned and brought up and all in those. So make sure to check it out, supportops.co. And until we see you again next time, have an awesome week.